no education. We don't need no thought control.
From WHQR Public Media, this is Reeducation Nation. I'm Logan Kennedy. This program takes a deep dive into the heart of public education. We talk to the people doing the work, from teachers, superintendents, school board members, and beyond. We want to get their perspectives as we go into the first full school year under this Trump administration, which has made its aspirations of ending federal education programs and removing federal dollars abundantly clear. How do these changes affect students, teachers, faculty, and local school boards?
All in all, you're just a break in the wall.
We're joined today by Gail Tabor, pastor at Crossroads Church in Fayetteville and Salt United Methodist in Wilmington. Tabor also served on the New Hanover County DEI Board since its inception until it was dissolved in February. In our show today, I'll be citing a story from Port City Daily back in February on New Hanover County Schools' strategic plan to changes in which DEI was cut in response to executive orders from the Trump administration. In February of this year, facing threats of federal funding cuts by the Trump administration, their Department of Education, and complying with the president's executive orders on DEI and gender ideology, the New Hanover County School Board voted 5-2, Democrats Tim Merrick and Judy Justice being the dissenting votes, to have the superintendent remove diversity, equity, and inclusion from the strategic plan, which is when you lost your position, correct?
Correct.
DEI, what is it?
I think that the short answer for what DEI is noticing those that get overlooked. And so when you think about what is it that this committee was doing and what those who would live into diversity, equity, and inclusion, and I think it's important that we not just use the acronym, but that we actually talk about the words, mm-hmm. because it is who is being overlooked, who is being missed, who is not being served, and how do we change that so that we are being for all society.
So during your time on that board, what were some of the tasks and duties that you were involved in on that board?
So, I mean, things that we tried to address was children with disability, people who are not as abled as other people, and how do we address children who have disabilities, whether they be physical disabilities or cognitive disabilities. And how are they offered the same services as all children? How are they able to go through the system in a good way? Mm. We also dealt with children who identify differently, whether that is part of the LGBTQ community, whether they're non-binary or transgender. We were able to get past some rules that allowed transgender children to play sports in middle school, which was a highlight of something that we were able to do as a committee. We also looked at racism and how racism plays in New Hanover County schools and what is the disciplinary actions that are being taken more for African-American children or children of color as opposed to white children.
I remember seeing some reporting for New Hanover County. It was talking about, I believe, younger African-American students, I believe it was elementary school age, were getting higher rates of in-school suspension and disciplinary actions. So can you expand upon that?
I mean, limited, I can expand on that. I think that statistically we see that those numbers are higher among African-American, especially males. And many like to put that into a category of a school-to-prison pipeline where you're already putting children at a very early age into a category of this is who you are with disciplinary action. And so if you have a child of color versus a white child, And they both do the exact same thing. They both have the exact same attitude or the same thing that they did in the school that requires discipline. The white child gets a much different track of discipline as opposed to the African-American child that ends up being suspended or having that be. And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, and I'm old, and so I don't know that kids talk about this anymore or that we hear this anymore. But, you know, it was always, oh, it's going to be in your permanent record, you know. And that was just kind of this thing, like, you don't want that in your permanent record. But when we put children into disciplinary action, high disciplinary action, where we're suspending them, then we are putting that into a permanent record. Mm. And it is something that follows them, some people, lifelong, because that continues from grade to grade. Teachers look at that from grade to grade. This child was a problem, and they get labeled as a problem maker or a troublemaker when they are young children. And it's hard to ever shake that. Because it follows them from grade to grade and then into adulthood.
Yeah, you believe it can manifest that, if that's how they're treated from youth to teenager?
I do think that if that's the label that has been put on a child at a very early age, I think that they have a very difficult time ever overcoming that to make changes in being viewed in that way.
All right, I want to move on from that and go back to some of the changes with DEI. I want to talk about some of Trump's executive orders that he did early in his term. Can you name one example of what Trump says in one of his executive orders ending what he calls the promotion of gender ideology or discriminatory equity ideology in curriculum instruction programs? He says discriminatory equity ideology. What has been discriminatory?
I think you'd have to ask someone else what has been discriminatory in that. I don't think that anything that tries to level the playing field is discriminatory. Yeah. And so I think that's a misnomer. But we live in a day when while words matter, and they do matter, things are being misnamed, being named incorrectly, in my opinion, that would... You know, it's an attempt to make it seem inflammatory that people are getting equality, they're being treated the same, or they're being treated on a level playing field with other people. That is not discriminatory in any way.
Right. And I ask that because to say equality is discriminatory is kind of, you know, that doesn't really add up at all.
It doesn't add up at all. And I think that... I mean, I think that the root of it is in racism. I mean, I think if you do any deep reading about the history of our country, you can see that this is rooted in determination that there are multiple races as opposed to just humanity. And then that one race, people who are of a lighter skin color, are somehow dominant or more worthy than people who have more pigmentation in their skin. And that has been something that has been perpetuated in the United States throughout our history. You can see it in the early history of slaves being brought over or even indentured servants being brought over. Those who came over as indentured servants who had more pigmentation received different treatment than those who did not.
And the promotion of gender ideology, what in any of the policies or anything that you saw on your time on that board is the promotion of gender ideology?
I mean, I think that what I saw was the promotion of let children be who they are, let people be who they are. And I don't know how that, I mean, when we allow people to be who they are without trying to, again, put them in a box, trying to say that if they don't fit exactly in the box that you think that they should and that you feel that you get to determine. So I think that we live in a day and age when organizations, school systems, school boards, presidential administrations think that they get to define the box of who people are and tell them how they ought to be in that box. And I'm not sure that humanity actually fits any of those boxes. or there's a limited number of people in society that fit in the boxes exactly the way that maybe others want them to.
And we saw, even before Trump got back into office, but of course much more during the time that he's been in office, now if a child is or a teenager is going through a transition and they are in school, if a teacher hears that they want to be called a different name, that they want to be addressed by different pronouns, they are now obligated in these new policies to contact administration and contact the parents.
Correct.
What do you think will come of that? Because some of these students, they can't be that at home.
Sure.
They're there at school around their friends, around people they trust. What do you think? I'm just going to say it. What are the dangers of that?
I mean, I think that there are severe mental health dangers around that. I think that when you're asking people to live a dual life, who they are versus who you want them to be, and you're forcing them to pretend that they are someone that they are not, that you have mental health problems that come along with that. And I think that as brains are developing, that it is important for kids to be able to, well, for adults, for all of us to be able to think about who we really are and to live into who we really are at our essence. And at our essence, that is our humanity.
Moving on, something I want to talk about, you being a church leader and, of course, going through the school system yourself, as most of us have.
Sure.
Bullying in school and in society. This is something that you want to touch on. This can be bullying for anybody. It can be, in many cases, especially for LGBTQ+ students. Can you touch on bullying in school and in society?
I think we live in a society right now that bullying is very much top-down. We see it in the executive branch of our government that the act of bullying of other countries, of people in society, is kind of the way that things are being done. I'm not getting my way, and I'm going to bully you until you give in. And so when you see that being acted out on our television screens, on our computers, on all of the things, right, and all of the ways that we receive news, we get to see bullying being done at an executive level, at the highest office of the land. That does, unlike economics, truly have a trickle down.
Yeah.
And so we have made it such that bullying is acceptable in our society again. And when you have society, we accept bullying as just a way of life, as just a way of doing business, then you have to expect that that's going to happen in the schools. It already was happening in the schools. Hmm. I mean, and it happened to all of us when we were kids, right? We were either bullied, a bully, or we were somewhere watching it happen. I mean, we had one of those three roles, all of us, in our way through school. You hope that you're going to outgrow that. You hope that adults are not going to do that to each other. And yet you see it in workplaces all the time. And now we see it playing out on a national stage. I think that we have become a society where bullying is just accepted. And therefore, we see it more in the schools, I think.
It takes more than one to make societal changes.
Correct.
But it only takes one to start.
Mm-hmm.
As a community leader, what do you say to people listening? And, you know, the times that we're in, I think this was Miss Angie Kahaney, who was a guest on here, describing us, some folks almost being addicted like a drug to adrenaline, to hatred. There's so much of it. Our news, you can't escape it. It's either going to come to you on the phone or on the TV or the radio. What are things that we need to do when we go out in our day, whether it's at school, whether it is out in the community, we're walking downtown, when we're talking to people? How should we go about that to put a rag in this draining part of society that is so addicted to hatred and to gotchas? What are things that we can do going about our daily lives to make that better?
Well, I think there are several things we can do. I mean, my faith tells me that that there are two main laws: to love God and love other people. And my scripture tells me that that is the basis of everything else that we do. And if we are doing those two things, if we are loving each other, I think that it makes us think about how we are using our words as weapons, how we are living into the gotcha society, how we are perpetuating that as a means of how things, the business of the day. And so I think that the biggest thing that we can do is to try to think of people in the best possible light. So how do we look at each other and see each other in the best possible way and give more benefit of the doubt? And that doesn't mean that we don't need to call each other out, because I think that we do. I think that when people are spewing hate, we need to call that out. Mm. When people are using words against others, which, by the way, I think that when we degrade other people is when we are indeed taking God's name in vain. Mm. And so if we view things that way, if we view it in this theological perspective of how we treat each other is really how we are treating God. It is how we are treating, how we are living into that in our own selves, then I think that we could change society.
Pastor Gail Tabor of Crossroads Church in Fayetteville and Salt United Methodist in Wilmington and former New Hanover County Schools DEI board member, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Today.
Reeducation Nation with host Logan Kennedy is a production of WHQR Public Media. It's recorded at WHQR Studios. This podcast series is made possible by a grant from the Fourth Estate Fund.